Thursday. We're into quarter number three. Appreciate you guys doing it. You made it to lunch on a Thursday. That means the weekend's right around the corner, looking at you, wondering what you're going to do. It's going to be nice tomorrow. And we'll have to deal a little bit with the weather coming up. You want to join the show, be a part of the conversation that Will Peterson and I are having as Will's sitting in for Stoke. A couple ways to do it. 303-713-1043. RamosLaw.com text line. And you can also hit us up on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. Now, what we have happening is just people complaining that we're not talking about their favorite team enough. But you know what the beauty of this is, Will? If you hang around long enough, we're going to talk about everything.
Yes.
Because that's what you do on Sports Talk Radio. So be patient. Hang tight. Your favorite team will be in the conversation sooner rather than later. And then we just got this one. The prime haters are going to hate. Which is also a good way to look at some stuff. All right. Well, we're going to bounce around a lot here in lunch. We're going to talk about a few things. And I want to start with something you mentioned earlier. Jaden Daniels.
Mm.
The LSU quarterback, the Heisman-winning quarterback who is looked at as, I don't know who you're talking to, he's either the second or the third quarterback that's going to come off the board. He's second for me behind Caleb Williams. I believe Jaden Daniels would be worth the chase, the squeeze. The juice would be worth the squeeze there if he had to give something up. Still scares the heck out of me, but Jaden Daniels is a guy I know you like. Troy Rank has written about Jaden Daniels. There's been a few other media members that go, hey, that's the guy, but Do they have the ammunition basically to go up and get a guy like Jaden Daniels?
Well, let's reset this because there was a nugget that came out of the NFL annual league meetings down in Orlando last week that to me would shake up the entire draft. And that was NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reporting that the Commanders and Adam Peters, their new GM, remember, he was in Denver's front office when they won Super Bowl 50. Mm-hmm. Adam Peters may love J.J. McCarthy. And if J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan goes 2 to the Commanders, obviously Caleb Williams will go 1 to the Bears, that shakes everything up, Josh, because what we thought for months and months and months was that Williams, Daniels, and May were unattainable because they were going to go 1, 2, 3, and the Bears, Commanders, and Patriots weren't going to trade. Now, let's say, just to have fun, that McCarthy goes 2 to the Commanders. That means that if New England likes Drake May at 3, or New England likes trading back, as we've seen in some mock drafts, or they like a wide receiver, and the Cardinals are open for business at 4, that a possibility we all thought wasn't going to happen is now realistic. And that's Jaden Daniels wearing orange and blue on July 28th at Broncos training camp. And that hill being packed and the Heisman Trophy winner coming to Denver. Can you imagine the excitement? Finally, Jaden Daniels is a Denver Bronco, and we have someone that we can get excited about, a young guy we can get excited about. Never had a young guy. I mean, we tried to talk ourselves into Drew Locke. Mm-mm. That didn't work. Paxton Lynch couldn't put down the Xbox controller. Yeah. You know, so I think it is not, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's realistic, because that's the word Sean used. Remember, that got a lot of people fired up. But I think it is possible that Jaden Daniels could be the Denver Broncos quarterback with the number 4 overall pick, and that's not just blowing smoke for the sake of blowing smoke. I think there's a real shot the Commanders take McCarthy at 2. Mm-hmm. I think that shakes up the whole draft.
I'm with you. It is certainly a possibility. I don't know about realistic. I'm not going to use the word that Sean wanted to use there against, who is he going back with? Ian Rappaport, right? Saying that.
That was the greatest exchange. Rappaport's like, well, I didn't really say that. Sean's like, yeah, you did.
He said, that's what you meant.
I've watched your report.
So it was a fun little back and forth there. And dude, I'm still really nervous about giving up a 2025 and a 2026 first rounder. I went back and looked at it. It would be 3 or 4 first round picks that the Broncos would make in almost a decade span because of Russ, because of Sean, and then this move, obviously, if they make it. And honestly, that scares the heck out of me because this roster is so bad, and that's how you're going to build. You need first round players to turn into starters immediately and then into key cogs onto what you're doing on either the offensive or defensive side of the ball by like year 3 at the minimum. And you give that up, you're just putting yourself behind the eight ball on a roster that needs, I mean, they need to plug holes at basically every single position.
I wouldn't do it for McCarthy, but I would for Daniels. I mean, that's the thing about this.
You could talk me into that.
That's the thing about this conversation is if you're giving up that much capital for J.J. McCarthy, who many thought was a second-round pick, and then he was a first-round pick, and then he was a top 15 guy, and now he's a top 4 guy, all in a span he hasn't played a game, then yeah, I'm with you. That doesn't make a ton of sense to me. But for Daniels, won the Heisman, felt like every LSU game I turned on, they were scoring 57 points. I would do it. I would, but I also would do it in a different way. Everyone says this year's first, next year's first, the year after's first. What have we heard about Pat Surtain II for almost a year now? He could be worth two first-round picks. Mm-hmm. Okay, how about 12 and PS2 for four? Let's just keep this clean, guys. Keep this deal clean. We don't need to get complicated. Very simple, Arizona. PS2 and 12 for four. They may balk at you. They may not. I think it's worth the phone call, not giving up the draft capital. I like PS2. He's a very, very good player. Corners just can't impact the game. He's 20 and 31 is his career with the Denver Broncos. What do you think of the idea of simple, clean PS2 and 12 for four?
I think that's brilliant. That is where I would really get on board to go and get you that quarterback, Don Fitzjaden there. Then I'm really, like, I'm fully on in. I'm jumping at the opportunity to do that. So I think it's a great point, Will, and I've said the similar things in the past about cornerback, and it's not us. You save your hate texts and tweets about PS2 is great. We acknowledge that. He is very good. You said it earlier. He might be the only Bronco right now that's worthy of having a Hall of Fame conversation with what it could be down the road. That's it. It starts and ends with Patrick Surtain II. But I've watched Patrick Surtain II be great for 3 years, and I've watched the Broncos as a team be underwhelming, embarrassing at times, and not on par with what we have as far as expectations for this football team. So if you got to maybe take a step back in the cornerback department to take a huge step forward in the quarterback department, well, let's have the conversation. Let's put each position on the Libra scale and figure out which end goes up and which end goes down. It's the quarterback by a mile.
Totally. One can change the game on a weekly basis, and one might not see a target on a weekly basis. It's no disrespect to PS2, but I'd be curious to know on the Ramoslaw.com text line what people think. What package is more tempting to get to four if you're a Broncos fan? All these picks, no first and 25, no first and 26, and you're telling this young QB, yeah, we gave up everything to get you, but we just can't add anything around you. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, we gave up a cornerback who's really, really good, but we get a pick in the first round next year. Let's be honest, Josh, probably in the top 10. And then we get a pick in the first round the following year, hopefully more like in the 20s, because you see a playoff-type leap in year two of Jaden Daniels. But I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I think it's a no-brainer. It's PS2 and 12 to get to four. And even if Arizona says, you know what, throw in a third. Okay.
You got me.
PS2, 12, and a third to get to four. I think there's wiggle room there, whereas I think the picks and just sacrificing the future, that's a tough sell based on what you gave up for Russ and what you gave up for Sean.
And look, there's also something we haven't even mentioned here with Patrick. One, does he want to be a Bronco for as long as most fans want him to be a Bronco? He's a guy coming from Alabama that had a lot of success. I'm sure he's never had a stretch of football in his life that's been this without team success. So that's another question. Does he want to be here? By the way, you're going to have to throw $100 million at him to keep him around. Does it become a bidding war? And then do you want to compete in a bidding war with what the state of your roster currently looks like for Patrick Surtain?
And do you want to spend that much of your salary cap on a cornerback?
Great question. Yeah, that's a great question, man. What do you think, Broncos country? A lot of people are on board with some of the PS2 stuff. Chuck says, why not offer that deal to San Diego for Justin Herbert? Well, because they're in the same division, and they would hang the phone up if you called them to ask about their quarterback.
Yeah, I think Jim Harbaugh's quirky, but I don't think he's stupid. And there's a difference between quirky and stupid. He wouldn't trade Justin Herbert to the Denver Broncos. And also, shout out Chuck. We got to get used to it now, Chuck. It's been, what, 3-4 years since they played in San Diego?
Los Angeles.
They're the LA Chargers.
They'll always be San Diego for
most people. I know. Well, and the Chiefs losing that vote the other night. Did you see that with the stadium?
Yeah.
People were joking, oh, they're going to move. And I saw a lot of the San Diego Chiefs.
Let me just tell you, the Chiefs aren't moving anywhere. I don't think.
I'm going to go full Tony Romo. I don't know, GM. I actually don't. I don't think they're leaving Kansas City.
Yeah.
But I do think, in all seriousness, people always joke, oh, where's Kansas City? What state's Kansas City in? Well, of course it's in Kansas. No, Kansas City is in Missouri. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs play in Missouri. I think there's a real shot the state of Kansas makes a play to get them to the other side of the border and build a big old fancy stadium there on the west side of the border, and then they actually would play in Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah. All right, keep them coming. Text line 303-713-1043. All right, want to talk a little bit about the Nuggets and Avs, who are both going to be in action tonight, but we have something coming from Woj right now, Will. We found out last night The Charlotte Hornets are going to be looking for a new coach at the end of the season. And they've got permission here today to interview several assistants from franchises that they like as the next head coach.
Okay.
You know who's on the top of the list?
I can guess.
The Denver Nuggets assistant coach David Adelman is on this. Jordy Fernandez, some ties to the Nuggets as well. He's with Sacramento now. Charles Lee from Boston and Phoenix Kevin Young are also on this list. But it was only a matter of time before David started to get some of these interview opportunities and be in the conversation for head coaching. He is a great coach. He's been under Malone for a couple of years. And the interim, if Malone's not around and some of the things when Malone gets tossed, but he's taken over those. It would be a bad loss for the Nuggets. Nothing huge, right? It's about the players more than it is the coaches, and they still have Nikola Jokic, but that would be a tough one for Malone to have to deal with and replace that. But Malone's also the guy that goes, yeah, at the end of the year, my assistant coaches should be getting these phone calls based upon what we've done as a staff.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're a casual Nuggets fan, you will know David Adelman is the dude who's on the sideline when Malone does get tossed. You know, when Joker gets run and Malone's got to go get run too. You can picture his face. His father, very successful coach for a long time in the NBA, Rick Adelman. And yeah, would it hurt to lose him? Sure, but it hurt to lose Wes Unseld to the Wizards. It hurt to lose Jordy Fernandez. Like, at some point, Malone's point is a valid one, that you want your assistant coaches to upgrade. And frankly, that's a healthy workplace, because any job you have, your employer should be happy for you getting promotions as opposed to just wanting to keep you forever in the same role. That's process of life, trying to move up the ladder, so to speak. So, yeah, I would hate to lose him, but I'd be a fan if he got the job. I'd be rooting for him along the way.
And, I mean, look, of those names, obviously Phoenix has had some success and has Boston, everybody actually. Sacramento's been really good as of late too. But David Adelman is, you know, a reigning assistant coach on an NBA championship team. I would imagine, maybe this is again my Colorado lenses I'm looking through, but I'd imagine he's the top candidate for the Charlotte Hornets there moving forward.
Yeah, the only thing with these ones that always weirds me out is I assume Charlotte wants to make a hire sooner rather than later.
Yep.
They're not trying to wait till July to fill this position. So do you lose Adelman during the playoff run? And that always worries me, because the NBA draft's like a week after the NBA finals end. They're going to want their head coach in their draft room, in their building. So that's going to be tricky of, hey, go get the Charlotte job, but fly to Charlotte after the parade. You know, that would make me feel better. I know a lot of Nuggets players have a really good relationship with Adelman. So I wouldn't undervalue the fact that if he has to depart in the playoff run, that could genuinely hurt the Nuggets. Yeah. So let's hope he gets the job, but let's hope they work it out that he can coach through the rest of the postseason.
Staying with the Nuggets, they got the Clippers tonight. It's 8 o'clock. It's a TNT game, so 8:17, probably get ready to flip over to TNT on your television. Jamal Murray is listed as questionable, Will. Jokic and AG are probable. Zeke Nnaji actually got upgraded to doubtful. I doubt he plays tonight. Doubtful there, but he has missed the last 8 games. Has been the backup big with small lineups. I'm not a huge Zeke Nnaji guy. I don't think he should get much playing time, but he is doubtful tonight. Jamal is the question. He's listed as questionable. He's gone through warmups. In fact, he's gone through his entire full warmup in the last 2 games and then still didn't get to play. I think tonight matters. I think it's a big game. The Clippers are going to be without Kawhi Leonard, who's also dealing with some knee issues again, but he's already been listed as out. I think this matters, Will, because you can kind of put the Clippers in the rearview mirror fully of being a top 3 seed or a team that can chase a top 3 seed and kind of, you know, all but lock yourself up into one of those top 3 seeds as the season winds down.
Yeah, they'd have to really fall apart to get caught by the Clippers, but I'm with you. It's just one of those games where you want to make another statement heading into the playoffs that, hey, if we see you guys in the second round, we've had your number since the bubble, right? Since you tried to fight Paul Millsap in the bubble, and we're going to beat you again. So I do think there's significance there. And a peek at the standings, the Thunder have now lost 2 in a row. They're at 24 losses. Denver and Minnesota both at 23, Josh. Remember, they still play the Wolves in these final 6 games. So the Nuggets control their own destiny for the number 1 seed. Don't watch the win column, folks. Watch the loss column, because losses are what you can't make up. Wins are just a matter of who's played more games than the other teams. But considering OKC now is 24, Denver and Minnesota both have 23, in theory, if you win out and you beat the Wolves, you will be the 1 seed. The Jamal thing is interesting, though. Because if he doesn't play till game 1 of the playoffs, he will have had a month off I think that's probably too much time to have off. The rest versus rust.
Okay.
We've had that debate in sports for a long time. I don't know if I need him to play tonight, but in the final five games after that, I would like to see him play in two or three, even if it's just 20 minutes a night. Josh, there's a decent chance they're going to play a team with a lot of star power in round one. This play-in is going to be loaded. LeBron James, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, perhaps on the Suns. You don't want to play a team laced with stars when the NBA loves their stars and you're playing 5-on-8, Jamal's returning, you drop game one at home, you kick away a home court advantage. That all of a sudden gets a little bit scary because they were up 2-0 in every series last year, at least in the West, 1-1 in the finals. It didn't end up hurting them. I'm just saying, man, you think tonight? I think in the next 10 days, get him on the court at least twice. But you want to see him out there tonight.
I do want to see him out there tonight. And I'm with you on the timeline of it. Of like, I don't need to see Jamal in all six of the final games. I don't even want to see that. I want to see, if I got to pick, if I were in charge, it'd be tonight and it'd be next Wednesday in Minnesota. Now, it's Atlanta at home. Is that this Sunday? It's a Sunday game at home, and it's like their second to last home game, or maybe even their last home game. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But you want to do bright by the fans. You want to see him. So if you can go there, all right. Put him on a minutes restriction.
It's this Saturday, actually. Against Atlanta. And then that Minnesota game is actually here.
And that's the final home game.
Next Wednesday.
Of the regular season.
Yeah, and then they'll go to San Antonio and Memphis, which I know they struggled with the Spurs the other night. But on paper, win-win, Spurs and Grizzlies to end the year.
And at that point, it doesn't even matter. Probably, anyway, if you win or lose those games. Because you're going to be locked into 1, 2, or 3.
Second time this segment. I don't know, GM. I think this thing could come down to the wire. I do.
To like the last game of the year in Memphis?
Yeah, but then I have to ask you this. Will Malone do his famous standings manipulation? Because say the Pelicans are the sixth seed. And a lot of people think the Pelicans are the weakest team in this field. Still very good, but not the household names that the other teams have. Would he rather be the three and just say, yeah, we'll take New Orleans first round, no big deal, 3 versus 6, and maybe trot out the Hunter Tysons and the Julian Strothers of the world?
I could see that, yeah.
Because honestly, Josh, would you rather face New Orleans round one or face the winner of Phoenix, LA?
I'm the wrong guy to ask. I want anybody. Put somebody in front of me and I'm going to beat their you-know-what.
We've seen Malone tweak with the standings before, though.
I know,
we have.
I know. But I don't look at it as, well, pick the best matchup. I know that's Malone's MO. He's done it before. I look at it as, hey, you're going to have to win 3 series to get to the NBA Finals. Whoever is in front of you, beat them because you have the best starting five on the planet and you have the best individual basketball player that can manipulate the game in 15 different ways in the entire world.
Normally, I would agree with you. But Jamal Murray hasn't played.
Okay.
Right?
See, if Jamal,
so I think that first round series can sneak up on you if Jamal's just getting back into rhythm. You get that? Is that fair?
I understand, yeah. I do get that. I don't know. I feel like I trust Nikola Jokic more than the rest of you. Like, they've earned benefit of the doubt. When they are right, and you're right, you want to see that, but Jamal back in a game, a couple of practices, they're going to get 4 days off in between play-in, and they're going to run full practices, which they haven't done since September. Mm. Like, they're going to get some run in those 4 days, so he'll get back into basketball shape. They'll play some 5-on-5. They're going to play full court scrimmages against one another. I think we're making a lot out of a little of what this is and what it won't be if Jamal's not there for the regular season finale.
Tonight would be 7 in a row. I mean, that's starting to add up. That, to me, that's not a lot out of a little. Missing 2 is a lot out of a little. 7? Then and Josh, they can't pin down the injury. It's the knee. It's the ankle. It's the shin. It's this whole leg is screwed up right now. That worries me a little bit, too. I do think he'll be okay, and I do think he'll be fine eventually.
Okay.
I can't sit here and tell you that if you go back to Phoenix tied 1-1, that I feel great about that round one series. I just can't.
What do you think, Nuggets fans? 303-713-1043. The Ball Arena Bros are both in action tonight, so that means the Avs, they'll actually kick the evening off. 6 o'clock puck drop up in Minnesota. It's on and in net because Georgiev will take that position tomorrow night when they're up in Edmonton skating with the Oilers. Val was skating here in Denver about 2 hours ago, so I like what you said earlier. Kroenke does have a couple PJs. They could probably get him to Minnesota. But all signs are pointing, Will, to Val not being in the lineup tonight against the Wild and then hopefully being available for these Colorado Avalanche tomorrow when they go play Edmonton, and that's a bit more of an important game because of standings. Val is this is easy to say. Like, Val and Jamal playing right now and everything looks fine, all of us are going, hurry up and get to the playoffs. We don't need to mess with any of this nonsense. Val has been, since he came back, I keep referring to him as the straw that stirs the drink. Yeah, maybe that's not the good reference for Val. I didn't think about it until you made that face. But he is, like, McKinnon is the pour, and Miko's the big ice cube that you like, but it's just not the same without the straw, and they're not. McKinnon has to do two other people's job, it feels like, when Val's not around. And then when Val's there, McKinnon gets to be McKinnon. Miko gets to be Miko. Kale can be Kale. Even the defenseman, the guys like Sean Walker can come up and take some risks. They're just not. They don't have to cover as many bases when Val is around.
Dude, it's insane to me that he's their fourth best player, yet he's the guy that if he's on the ice, they can win the Stanley Cup. And if he's not on the ice, they're going to lose in round one. Because guess what, Josh? He wasn't on the ice last year, and what'd they do? They lost in round one. The numbers speak for themselves. They're something like 40 games over 500 with Nichushkin in the lineup. And they're barely better than a 500 team when he's not out there. So for whatever reason, he is the guy that just makes them go, the motor, if you will. And I totally agree with you that he just needs to be playing game one. And, yeah, it'd be great to get him to Edmonton tomorrow night and get him back out there. But Dallas is going to win the division. They beat the snot out of Edmonton last night. They're 5 points up on the Avs. And is that really the worst thing in the world? No, because I think in basketball, home court is critical. I think in hockey, it's more of a moot point. These dudes are still just playing hockey. And I know it's a smaller chance now that they've gotten hot, but if you're the one, you have to play a wild card team. There was a chance for a while Vegas was going to be a wild card. Would you rather play Vegas in round one, or would you rather play the Winnipeg Jets?
I'd rather play the Winnipeg Jets.
I couldn't name you three Winnipeg Jets. I'm not scared of the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, but you're scared of the Phoenix Suns.
I gave the same speech last year. I'm not scared of the Seattle Kraken. Don't know how that worked out. But I just, to me, Josh, I don't care about home ice and hockey. Heck, when they won the Cup 2 years ago, they were way better on the road than they were at Ball Arena. Mm-hmm. How many games did they lose on the road? Didn't lose any in Nashville. Lost one in St. Louis. Didn't lose any in Edmonton. Lost one in Tampa. So they lost two games the whole way on the road.
Yeah.
They were phenomenal on the road. They'll be just fine. Give me the Jets round one, and hopefully the Stars get taken out by Vegas. That'd be great.
I just feel like it's weird you got this that confidence with the Avalanche, but not the Denver Nuggets.
I never said I was scared, bro. But I'm also not naive. The Suns have beat them twice at Ball Arena in the last month. You seem to be ignoring that fact.
It's a regular season game in March and April.
If Jamal's right, I will agree with you.
Okay.
But you know what? Let's just get him out there tonight. So now I'm on your side. You convinced me.
Nice.
Because then if he gets out there tonight, no one's worried about the rest versus rust thing.
That's right.
Come the playoffs. Play him 20 minutes in all six of the final games. Cool.
See, I'm down with that too.
Because he gets a week off for the play-in tournament.
We'll find out. We never really get the final injury report before we're done at 2, but if it does come, we'll pass it on. And if not, of course, Zach and Phil will hit you with it when they're on. Our Broncos insider, Mike Kliss, he's actually going to be with us in the 1 o'clock hour. But before that, he put out his Broncos mock draft. He has the team selecting not one, but two quarterbacks. Details on who they are and where they were picked next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, our buddy Mike Kliss, he's our 9 News Broncos insider. He's with us every Thursday. In fact, will be with us in 45 minutes or so from right now. But Will Peterson is sitting in for Stoke. He, Mike Kliss, that is, has his first mock out. It's interesting. We're going to talk to him about it, but he has a couple of different options with this mock. A couple of different ways he can see it going for the Denver Broncos. And option one, it's what we all want. It's a quarterback selected at number 12.
Okay.
And he says...
Well, at 12? That's what we all want?
Quarterback. He says 12. The quarterback picked.
Okay.
The first pick, wherever that may be. He's looking at it as 12 because that's where it stands today. And he goes over Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix are the options there. But does say, yeah, highly unlikely Drake May Jane Daniels or J.J. McCarthy are there. If they are, you obviously go take one of those. He mentions the possibility of trading up as well to go get a J.J. McCarthy, a Drake May, or a Jaden Daniels. So that's like his option 1A, 1 and 1A.
Sure.
Quarterback at 12 or chase and go get a quarterback in the top and sacrifice a 2025 first, a 2026 first to go do that. So that's one. And that's 1A. Then you get to a second option. And this is something you and I have talked about, Will. Trading back, he narrows it down into the 18 to 24 range. So you get out of 12, and now you're picking anywhere between 18 and 24. Add a second round pick with that trade as well. We're into that so far. So you get to, let's call it 18, where the Broncos have traded back to. This is where Kliss loses me a bit. He's got Jared Verse as an option, the edge rusher from Florida State. He's been mocked to the Broncos a few times. And then the other option there is Byron Murphy, defensive tackle out of Texas. Guy to play opposite of Zach Allen and come in and add depth and be a future piece of the defensive line of the Denver Broncos. So that is option two, and I don't like it. You and I agree. Offense.
Yeah, it's funny to me that the trade back means, oh, we have to go defense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, the reason you're trading back and the only reason you're trading back is to still select Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., but add a second round pick because you don't have that capital right now. So I'm with you. It's like, Mike, stop. You're losing me. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world to trade back, but it's the worst thing in the world to trade back and not end up with Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. I want to be clear. I will go on record. The only way I am cool with trading back is if they still take one of the big six quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And obviously the only two who are going to be left at that point are Nix and Penix. So, yes, I am open to the idea of adding capital. I am not open to the idea of adding capital and then taking a freaking D-tackle out of Texas. Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, he also goes on here, and he had a 1 and a 1A. He's kind of got a 2 and a 2A because that was a trade back into, what was it, 18 to 24 range. He calls it a bonus mock pick if they were to trade back into the 27 to 31 range. Now, I'm not sure. You know, maybe he's talking to some more people that I'm not seeing that they're reporting, but he says you trade back into that range in hopes. Get scared a little bit when you use the word hopes.
Yeah.
But Bo Nix or Michael Penix is there. And best case scenario, right, you get to 27 and one of the two are there and then you make the pick. Like I said, it sounds beautiful on paper and here on April 4th that would be great. You still get that fifth round control. You've added a second pick. It's later in the first round, so the fan expectation isn't going to be as crazy. It'll still be crazy, but not as crazy. But where my problem is, the pushback I'd give is that I'm not sure they get to 27 or 31 and have quarterback options still on the board.
Yeah, the only thing to me is if those guys get past the Raiders at 13, I just wonder if they could tumble and take a tumble a la Will Levis did last year, maybe all the way even to the second round. Because you just look at the teams that are all going in, and I won't bore you with running through them all, but every single one of them has a starting quarterback on their roster right now. Every single one past 13. So why not, and I'll ask Mike about this, why not take Brock Bowers at 12, okay? And then see if you can get back into the second round to take Nix or Penix, and then it's not Brock Bowers or Michael Penix or Bo Nix, it's Brock Bowers and Michael Penix or Bo Nix. I'll be curious to ask Mike about that in about 40 minutes here on The Fan, because I just think we can get more creative here than feeling like it's got to be one or the other.
Well, would you be worried that they're not there in that second round? Or do you get past the quarterback needy teams and then they've already addressed the need, but you're not really battling with it? It's the Raiders you're battling with.
I'll go through with you. The Saints, Derek Carr. Colts, Richardson. Seahawks just traded for Sam Howell. Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence. Bengals, Joe Burrow. Rams, Stafford. Steelers, Justin Fields. Dolphins, Tua. Eagles, Jalen Hurts. Texans, C.J. Stroud. Cowboys, Dak. Packers, Jordan Love. Bucks, Baker. Cardinals, Kyler. Bills, Josh Allen. Lions, Goff. Ravens, Lamar. Niners, Purdy. Chiefs, Mahomes. Okay. I mean, I just went through 13 or 14 to 32.
Yeah.
Now, could you say, oh, well, the Seahawks, they may want a QB. Sam Howell, is he really a future? The Saints, they really think Derek Carr is the answer forever. Oh, the Cowboys, they're going to lose Dak.
Right.
So, like, there are maybes there. But there is no surefire that if Knicks and Penix get past the Raiders at 13, that I can't draft them at the start of round two, and I can use a guy like Cortland Sutton in a third-round pick to hopefully get me back to the top of round two.
Okay, I like that. I like the name Cortland being thrown in there as well. I just look at it as that's a risky hope for me. If you really want to get a quarterback, and I think everyone around here wants that to happen one way or another, banking on it or hoping that it's there at 27 or 31 for you, it seems like you could be just, you know, left standing alone at the altar with no quarterback to choose from by the time you get there.
Well, yeah, and then you kind of have egg on your face, but you also can spin it for, oh, we always loved Michael Pratt out of Tulane.
Of course.
Oh, we always loved Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
They won't leave the draft without a quarterback, but I'm with you. Leaving night one without a quarterback is egg on your face, or not trading up to 33rd and Knicks and Penix are still on the board. And when we restart the thing on Friday night, you're essentially getting your pick of the two at the start of round two.
All right. So that gets us through the first couple of options that Mike Kliss sees it over from 9 News. So we get into round three where the Broncos have pick number 76. He gives us some options to choose from, and this is a fun exercise. First, the great athlete with explosive speed is Roman Wilson, the wide receiver out of Michigan. Or Jeremiah Trotter, a linebacker, inside linebacker, could be a replacement for Josie Jewell out of Clemson. And then the last option he's got for pick number 76, Will, is Bucky Irving, a running back out of Oregon. It's my first choice. It's Mike's first choice. Roman Wilson, wide receiver out of Michigan.
Yeah, I don't hate that idea at all. I mean, obviously he's won a lot of football games. You know, McCarthy is become a hot button topic of, hey, did McCarthy really do that much, or was it the running game and the defense? Well, we'd be fixing to find out, quote Gary Kubiak a second time today, if you went that direction. Yeah, add offense, Josh. Add offense. You and I have been talking about this for, you know, I filled in for Stoke a few times over the last month. Offense, offense, offense. That needs to be the focus of this team. So add playmakers, add weapons, and you can never have enough wide receivers or running backs, quite frankly.
Yeah, the running back, Bucky Irving, I've seen his name a couple of times with the Broncos, and I didn't watch a ton of him, but he's only 5'10", and that bugs me a little bit. Like, they already have to find ways to get Jaleel involved because of size and what he doesn't bring in pass pro. Like, you kind of have two of those guys on the roster if that's a pick there.
Yeah, and you still got Samaje under contract for another year. So if you spend a premium pick on a running back, Samaje Perine's not making the 53. I can tell you that much. Mm-hmm. It'll be Javonte, Jaleel, and the rookie. So, yeah, if you're a Broncos fan in this draft, know if they draft the top three-round running back, they're basically waving goodbye to Perine. I'm not telling you Perine was some all-pro last year, but I liked what I saw from Perine, particularly when Russell Wilson got into panic mode and it was dumped to Samaje, dumped to Samaje, dumped to Samaje. So, while I'm contradicting myself because I said you can never have enough running backs, I'd be more toward take a running back in the sixth or the seventh.
Right.
Not a huge fan of running back as a top three pick for this team. I think they have other holes to fill.
Yeah, and I mean, they need some help at wide receiver. They're going to need help at running back in 25 when P. Ryan and Javonte's contract also that will come up. But running backs, you can plug and play with some of that stuff via free agency and even in the draft if you hit it right.
I mean, who's the Rams kid this year that no one had ever heard of who just absolutely went off?
Yeah, I can't even think of his name. But he's a young dude that nobody expected anything out of him.
I'm asking questions on the radio I can't answer. Good radio.
Yeah.
Keaton Mitchell up in Baltimore. Remember him
there
before he got hurt?
Yep.
No one knew who Keaton Mitchell was.
No.
And then this Rams, I know he's on half your fantasy teams.
Yeah, somebody had him in a fantasy championship.
Yeah, Kyron Williams. Because my buddy had, no one cares about your buddy's fantasy team, I get it. But you had Kyron Williams and Puka Nacua.
That's right.
Right? And it just, because that's the thing that drives me nuts is people always say, okay, well, if they get to four for Daniels and have to give up draft capital, I'd rather give up PS2, but I'd also give up draft capital. Puka Nacua was a fifth-round pick.
So was this running back.
Kyron Williams was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was arguably a top-five running back in the league last year.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that you can only find good players in the first round. It just means your GM has to be good at his job and finding players in the later round.
All right, we're on to round four, where the Broncos have one pick, three picks in the fifth, and a couple in the sixth. What's Mike Kliss have them doing with those late-round picks? We'll tell you coming up next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
All right, we're going over a mock draft from our buddy Mike Quist. We're going to talk to Mike coming up at 1:15, so we're getting ahead of this, and we'll ask him about it. But if you've missed anything, he's got like 1A and 1B, and then he's got like a 2A and 2B as to what they do for quarterback. Trade up and chase one of the top dogs in Jaden Daniels, Drake May, or J.J. McCarthy. Stay put at 12 and hope you can land a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix Jr., or do you trade back and then hope again that they end up there? Then we went through the third round where Mike has a running back, wide receiver, or an inside linebacker as the decision. Will Peterson, who's sitting in for Stoke, and I decided that Roman Wilson, the wide receiver out of Michigan, was the spot right there at pick number 76. So we're on to round four now, Will, where they have the one pick, and it's number 121. His first selection is a fun one. Mohamed Kamara, edge rusher, up there in Fort Collins, out of Colorado State. And Mike simply writes, maybe the next Shaq Barrett. I like that there. The play and the idea, get a local guy, not a huge star, but can come in and fill a void for you, be a rotational player, and maybe make some noise on the few plays he gets week in and week out.
Yeah, listen, dude, I'm not opposed to taking defense or taking edge rushers. They need defense. They need edge rushers. And Mike nails this here because the fourth round is when you should start diving into the defense after filling two or maybe three big offensive holes if you get an extra second round pick in those first few rounds. So, yeah, I just think if you're going to take an edge in the fourth round, who better than a CSU kid who probably flies under the radar because, let's be honest, he played at Colorado State. That's no disrespect to the Rams, but if Mohamed Kamara put up the same numbers in the SEC, he'd be a first-round pick. Yeah, so this is a good value pick, and it's a good time to select an edge rusher.
I like that a lot, Will. That's a great time to pick him, and that's the lead in the clubhouse for me as to what Mike Kliss has here. Because next up is the second option at pick 121 is Quantez Stiggers, a cornerback out of Best Academy High School. I didn't know much about this kid until I read the piece today, Will. Apparently, Stiggers is a high school kid that didn't want to go play college ball, took his talents to the Canadian Football League after high school, and was a big surprise. He actually was the most outstanding rookie defensive player in the CFL and is now trying to take his talents over to the NFL side. I mean, but the kid's like, what, going to be 20? Not that that matters, but it's a guy that doesn't have any college playing experience, went right to the CFL.
Well, and don't forget, this is the kid that they have the visit lined up with on Friday, the top 30 visit. Mm-hmm. So you don't mess around with those top 30 visits.
No.
If you're coming to Dove Valley, we are legitimately interested in selecting you. So, yeah, I think this is another interesting value pick. But to me, Josh, this scares the you-know-what out of me because it could go one of two ways. This kid could be the biggest diamond in the rough that anyone's ever found, and NFL scouts turn their nose up at the fact he didn't go to college. He went from high school to the CFL, and he could be an all-pro one day. Or this kid could be Lorenzo Doss. Remember that name?
Yeah, I do.
Like a pick 4 or 5 years ago out of some small school in Texas that I think, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. Well, I want to Google it before I get myself in trouble. Yeah. I think he got himself a little bit of trouble. And he was just an all-time bust who barely ever played for the Broncos. So it's a risky pick. Now, in the fourth round, are you willing to take a flyer? If I'm the Chiefs.
Sure. Heck yeah.
Well, but hold on. If I'm the Chiefs, I am. I have a Super Bowl roster. Mm. I'm the Broncos, man. I don't need half these picks to hit. I need every single one of these guys to hit.
That's a good point.
That leans me towards maybe stay away.
You know what I thought about when I read this, though, in his journey of being such a young guy and the hype around him? I didn't have to go that far. I thought of Cormani McClain. Up at CU.
Yeah.
Like this young dude supposed to be the next big thing. He's going to come play under Dion. He's going to be heck, you're going to have Cormani and Travis on the same team on the opposite sides. Who's going to throw the football against those dudes? And then we saw Cormani get a taste of it and experience it. And, I mean, ask Dion what Cormani was about before he found the playing field. He was not impressed and said he was getting in his own way. So that was just the thought that went through my head when I read that about the young guy. All right, so we're in round five now. And I mentioned earlier, Will, that not only does Mike have the Broncos taking a quarterback at 12 or finding a way to get Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., at round 5, pick 136, because the Broncos have a few fifth-round picks, it's Michael Pratt, quarterback out of Tulane. He has another option here. Or Jordan Travis, quarterback out of Florida State, who, remember, had the Seminoles humming at a perfect undefeated record before he had a pretty gruesome injury that he had to deal with. But this is interesting to me. This is already with Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. on the roster. And then you're taking a flyer on a Michael Pratt or a Jordan Travis in the fifth round.
Yeah, and that is another option that we have to consider, and one that maybe Broncos country isn't the most receptive to, but should open their mind up to, right? That this quarterback may not come in round one. And that's going to be a harsh reality because we've all been banging the table for it for months and months and months and months. But there are other options in the middle rounds. I will ask you this, though. It would be unconventional. How do you feel about the Broncos potentially taking two QBs in this draft? That room is so barren that you take a first rounder and a fifth rounder and you really restock it. It's, again, not very often do teams take multiple quarterbacks in a draft, but are the Broncos that lean at QB, they should think about it.
Mm-hmm. Will, not only do I like it, I love it.
Nice.
I love this play from Mike Kliss right here. This is, I have said it before, and it's not like my theory, but it's something I certainly subscribe to. If you don't have the guy, or you don't believe the guy you have will turn into the guy, take a quarterback every year. And when you're a team like the Denver Broncos, where you don't have the guy, and you didn't have the guy the year before, and you didn't have the guy the year before, and you haven't had a guy since 2015, you take a quarterback in every draft, and maybe even freaking two. Because you have to find that position, because nothing else matters. Who the head coach is, who the running back is, who the star cornerback is, if you don't have the guy at quarterback. I literally love this idea from Mike Kliss.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, man. And it's very rare that you need to replenish a QB room. That's what they need to do.
Yeah.
So two quarterbacks, going home with a couple of them, not the worst idea in the world.
The New England Patriots drafted Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, they had Tom Brady winning Super Bowls, and then they turned that into an asset to trade and go help Tom Brady win more Super Bowls. I think that's a formula you can kind of try to emulate. Now, you don't have Tom Brady, but what if one turns into one, not Tom Brady, but a good quarterback? And then you have the luxury of, you know, that's a rich person problem. Oh, I got two good quarterbacks. Let's figure out what we can get for one. Love this idea from Mike Kliss. All right, round five. We're on to round five. We're going to have to go through these quickly, Will. Luke McCaffrey or a running back, Isaac Garrido from Louisville. Let's bring a McCaffrey home.
Yeah, give me Luke all day, man. I just think he had two great years at Rice as a wide receiver, made the transition from quarterback, and guess what? We know there are really, really good genes in the McCaffrey family.
That's right.
Give me another McCaffrey in orange and blue.
He's also got with another fifth-round pick, because they do have three, Dalen Hulker from CSU, the tight end up there, who I like a lot as well.
Mike has turned this into the local draft, baby.
Yeah,
Gary Kubiak would be proud. Two CSU guys.
And then he does have with that third, final fifth-round pick. Here's what I'm talking about. Go find your cornerback here. Daquan Hardy, cornerback out of Penn State.
Sure,
I'd be fine with that.
Daquan Hardy.
Round six, he gets a center. Now, that might have changed because the Broncos signed a center today from Baltimore and Chicago, and he's going to be the starter. But he also has them picking a couple punters. Whatever. If it's your last pick and you got to pick a punter, that's the place to do it.
Yeah, but I also feel like the Broncos haven't had a good punter since Britton Colquitt. And flipping the field is underrated in the NFL.
They punt a lot.
So if you're going to select a punter, not the worst idea to have a kid who can kick the ball 70 yards and get you out of some tough positions. It just feels like they haven't had a good one for years and years and years.
Two quarterbacks in the 2024 draft. How do you feel about it? The first text I see reads, take a quarterback in every round this year. Yeah, that might be the play, too. Let us know how you feel on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. We're on board for two quarterbacks. Are you, Broncos country? Let's have that Gabe Landeskog conversation. Is he coming back? Does he need to come back for the Avs to make a postseason run? Plus, I got a bone to pick with Gilbert Arenas. I'll tell you why next.